So there was this church sign that I drove by a couple months back, which stated, of course, you know, a typical church sign in the church sign type of lettering, block lettering. And the sign said, "To prepare for tomorrow, trust on the Lord Jesus Christ today." And I don't know if this shows that I'm a bad pastor or not, but I'll be honest with you, I started to laugh out loud at this sign as I drove by. And I know, you know, I know that church signs can be funny or inspirational, but this one, in my opinion, had several problems with it. The first one was this sign message just kind of struck me as weird with its decree of to prepare, right? The way that it was phrased, it almost kind of begged for like a John Cleese type of figure from Monty Python to come up out of his knight regalia and read to the peasant villagers, hear ye, prepare for tomorrow, trust on the Lord Jesus today. And the second thing that kind of just doesn't sit with me very well with this sign is the decree, to which Abby laughingly pointed out, was its phrasing on to trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to have to ask Mike McClintock, our true language expert, a little bit later. But at least in my experience, I don't go around saying I trust on people. But maybe I should. I don't know. Sonia Scovlin, our church office manager, is really amazing, so I really trust on Sonia. So regardless of whether or not this sign statement actually is proper English, I think it is an interesting example of how many times the broader church speaks to trust in God. Sometimes it's just a little bit weird. How many times have we heard again and again in worship, just trust in God. Just trust. Of course, we carry around symbols of our trust in God, right? It's probably most famously written on our own currency, "In God we trust." As a kid, I ran into challenges, and I even remember thinking to myself, if I could only trust God more, then it will all be okay. But is this what the church should be saying and teaching? All you need is trust. What does it mean then to trust God? Or is trust just an add-on phrase we like to say? I think that this is what our Exodus story, the story of the Israelites in the wilderness, is all about. You know, the context of this story, I think, is really, really important because I think it's easy to miss the point. The Israelites have been freed from the grip of Pharaoh and slavery, saved from the mighty Egyptian army, escaped from their tortured lives, now to be in a barren wilderness for 40 years. The situation, I think, can be summed up in the words of my little brother at age 10. "This sucks." Being in the wilderness, I think, does suck in many ways, and it can bring about a lot of emotions that we don't expect. Fear, loss, anxiety, sadness, anger, and despair. It certainly is not a place that the Israelites wanted or expected to be. We can hear this, I think, really clearly in verse 3 of our Old Testament reading today, where it says, "The Israelites said, if only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." They may have been worked to death. They may have been used as objects and abused in Egypt, but at least they had one basic need fulfilled: hunger. You know, the Hebrew word that is used, is translated as the word complain, is interesting. It's malinim, which can literally be translated also as to murmur. And this is what, so often in Hebrew, you can hear actually this word when you say it over and over again, malinim, malinim, malinim. It's this expression of murmuring, right? It literally sounds like murmuring. And I think we can be sometimes too quick to judge the Israelites as a group of complainers, right? Think about it. If you were wandering around in the desert with no knowledge of where you were going and starving for food and water, wouldn't you murmur too? This is where simply trusting on God might not cut it. Notice the interchange that happens between God and Moses. Moses doesn't tell Aaron to go say to the Israelites, well, just trust on God more and God will provide. Instead, it is God who first answers and says, I have heard your calls. I think this goes to show that in many ways the complaining here is legitimate. Food is a basic need of survival. Without food, we can't live. It is true, many people, even in this very room, know what it's like when the next meal is uncertain. And it's not pretty. Hunger is real. So to just say, just trust, as a way to tamp down the complaining in this case, I think is cheap. Complaining and calling out to God have a real important place that I don't think we lift up enough. Dr. Sarah Koenig, associate professor at Seattle Pacific University, argues that the problem is not that the people murmur or even that the Israelites are disobedient or recalcitrant. The problem, she argues, is that they don't know God well enough to trust God. And she goes on to say, this problem is foreshadowed in their song of praise from the previous chapter. They acknowledge that the Lord is a God like no other, and yet they did not fully understand who the Lord is or what God is able to do. Even if they remember that God is their deliverer, they have not yet experienced again and again and again that God is also their provider. Now that's a little different take on things. But it makes sense, right? In order to trust someone, we must in some way get to know them first. And it's interesting to look at Aaron's message to the people in response to God's answer with manna. Again, Aaron doesn't just say, well, folks, just trust in God. But it starts off, notice, with him saying, draw near to the Lord, for God has heard your complaining. Another way of translating this Hebrew word of draw near is to come into God's space. This is an invitation, just as much as it is a command or a test. Come into my space so that I can know you. This, of course, poses, I think, an interesting question for our time and space, right? How many of us, especially how many of us who grew up Lutheran, right, can do all of the church rituals, can sing all the hymns, can recite the Lord's Prayer and the Ten Commandments, can teach Sunday school, yet have not ventured into God's space to get to know God. Some of us maybe have had intimate experiences where we have gotten to know God up front in real ways. Maybe in a surgery or in an illness. Maybe when a family member has died or our child has been curious about something. Getting to know God is real. And it is in knowing God that we then can begin to radically trust. So maybe our church sign should instead read, "To prepare for today, get to know Christ today." Trusting is also about knowing. So then, do we know God well enough that we can confidently murmur when others' basic needs are not met? Do we know God well enough to hear the answers to our murmurs today through all the noise that we hear every day? I was speaking with my cousin's husband, Tom, who trained as a paramedic. They're not living there anymore, but he trained as a paramedic in a small rural town in New Mexico. And he talked about in his training as a paramedic, the way in which you communicate with someone who is in distress or is starting to go into shock. And one of the things that he was trained in was how first responders communicate in these types with people in these types of situations. And one of the tools that he said works well in a lot of ways is literally to get in someone's face, right? 3 to 4 inches from their face, and to calmly speak to them. And he told me, you know, what this does is literally overwhelm all their other senses. And so it makes it that they have no choice but to tune everything else out except for who is right in front of them. And not all cases, he said, can be handled this way, but in some cases, he said, this can be a very effective for calming people down and quickly instilling trust with the paramedics who are caring for them. Sometimes, Tom said, you just got to get in their face so they know you are there. Maybe this is a good way of seeing the Israelites' situation too. God getting in their face and saying, I hear you. I hear you. So then what if our job as followers of Christ here at OSLC wasn't to just put signs up and just blankly say, trust in God, but to create space for people to see the face of God and to allow trust to build. Because trusting in God, in my opinion, is the only way we will ever be able to make it through some of the very difficult problems facing our families, our country, and our world today. So my prayer for you is may you see the face of God up close and get to know your Creator in new ways so that trust doesn't just become an add-on, but becomes a gift. Amen.